Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you for this day. I thank you for this women's retreat. It's going to be a retreat. But Lord, we just thank you for this women and women where we can come and fellowship with one another and learn new things and just have fun in you. And Father, I just pray that you move me out the way, Lord, and that you would just speak the words that you would want your women to hear on today. Lord, just bless it and may we put into action what we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Never been up here before, so I don't know how this thing works and everything, so I have to get my Bible and paper together. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, and the title of it is Move Forward into Action. In order for us to move forward, you need to arise, and it's the same thing that Christy said today, is that you have to do something. It has to be an action that you have to take. In order to arise, you have to stand up. You have to make up in your mind that I have to get up out of my seat, stand, and walk forward. And that's what God wants to teach us today. We need to have faith in God, follow his directions, and when difficult times arise in our life, we need to wait patiently on him. Why? Because God is with you. In this book, we're going to find out that when we decide to move forward, there's one thing that we're going to realize, and there's 8 points to this, and I'm going to go through it. Hopefully, I won't bore you or anything, but God's word is good, and it's alive to me today. The number one point is the enemy will arise to discourage you. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 1st through the 9th verse, we will find out what happened. It said, we're going to go to the 5th verse. It says, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of the Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So then they went out for them. One thing that we have to realize is that when we move forward, the enemy will arise to discourage us. As God showed many miracles to the Israelites, and Moses went and he helped lead them out of Egypt. And as they were going and Pharaoh let them go, all of a sudden he started thinking to himself, why did we let these people go? Who is going to serve us? So he got all his chariots and began to come out and because they wanted to bring Israel back to make them their servants. We as Christians must realize that we have an adversary, the devil, who wants to discourage us. We know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give us that abundant life. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We must realize that when we move forward to do the work of the Lord, know that the devil will come after us with full barrels. He's just not going to let you go and do these great and awesome things for the Lord. He's going to come and fight. And I see that today in my life because there are certain things that are happening with me, and the Lord just says, we're going forward. We're going to move to Texas whether I'm sick or not. We're going to move to Texas and do the work of the Lord because that's what God has called my husband to do. And I'm going out there and I'm joyful. And I'm thanking God for what he has done for me. And I'm going to miss everyone who is here because all of you are a vital part to me. When I look at your faces right here, I can go through each and every one of you and say, I thank God I had her in my life at this point. I thank God meshed me with these women that are here that were strong, not compromisers. People who are going to do the work of the Lord. And I praise God and I thank God for that. So we have to remember that our faith needs to be in God, not in myself, but in God. Number two, we must realize that we should not fear. Exodus 14:10-12 says this, as soon as I find it. It says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us out of Egypt? In great fear and anger, the Israelites cried out to Moses. They were saying, look, there were no graves in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here into this desert to die? But God wanted to perform a miracle in their life. And not this was the first one. There were 10 others before that. But God was doing great things, and he wanted Israel to say, look, just stand up. Be strong. But you know what? They had that slave mentality. They said, oh, it was better back there. You know, at least no one was killing us. At least no one's coming after us. We were fine. And we have to get out of that slave mentality. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. God wants us to have the mind of Christ so we don't think the way that we used to think, thinking that what is out in the world is better than what God can give us. What we have in God is greater than what we had in the world. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. God says that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and we're not below. We're victorious and we're not a victim. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. We are blessed. Why? Because we have God. So God does not want us to fear. No matter what decisions are coming in your life, we shouldn't fret about it. Yeah, in our human nature, we tend to get afraid, and we become afraid of the things that we see before us because we see these big things before. Oh, what am I going to do? And we begin to shake and tremble. I don't know what to do. But God says, don't worry, don't fear, because I am with you. I am here. I'm going to help you. Psalms 56:4 says this, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Number three, have faith in God. That's Exodus 14:13-14. And it says this. We're going to go. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Moses reassures them. He tells them, don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch God rescue you. But we, as human beings, we tend to figure, oh, if I have to wait 2 days, 1 week, I must do something myself. And God says, no, you don't have to do anything yourself. You stand still. Keep your mouth closed, because when we start talking, I'm talking about with ourselves in the house. Why is this happening to me? I don't see why. We start complaining about all these particular things that are going on, and we fail to realize to have faith in God. Okay, wait a minute. God is my Savior. He's my protector. He knows what's best for me better than I know for myself. So God is saying, have faith in me. Now, the journey from bondage to the promised land would be long and dangerous, but God will be there for them. Psalms 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. He will direct your path. So all I have to do is apply the faith in God. Lord, I'm going to believe in you, and I am going to stand. Why? Because God has supplied all the needs for the Israelites, Abraham, Joshua, Jacob. He supplied all the needs for them there, even how he supplied the need for us when he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. So if he did that for me, I know that my God is going to take care of me. And that's what we have to realize. Number four, we must be obedient. That's in Exodus 15:18. And it says this, the 15th verse. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry for me? Tell Israel to go forward. I'm here telling you today, we must go forward. Whatever it is in our everyday lives, whether it be at home, whether it be on our job, whether it be in church, whether it be in our community, wherever we are, God wants us to be obedient. Moses is told to raise his staff over the sea, dividing the waters and allowing Israel to walk on dry land. He allowed Israel to walk on dry land. Think about an ocean or a little river, and think of the water rolling back. You know it would be mud. Common sense would tell you that it would be mud. But God sent a strong east wind to come and roll back the waters, and the Israelites walked on dry ground. Dry ground. When we are obedient, we will see God's power. Psalms 27:1 says this, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But Peter in Acts 5:29 said this, we ought to obey God rather than men. The people were crying out to Moses saying, look, you brought us out here. Now what's going to happen to us? And the Lord is telling them, look, we need to be obedient. Moses had a staff that God had given him. I look up the word staff, and this is what it means. A staff was a rod carried as a symbol of office or authority. Moses had a staff in his hand. Moses had God's authority. We are Christians. We love the Lord. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He says, if you provide the faith, I will do the rest. He will tell you what to do. He will lead you. He will guide you in all truth, because God is there. I thank God for that. Listen to this. So Moses used the staff that God had given him, and it said this, being confident in Philippians 1:6 of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Moses had the faith in God. What has he given you to move yourself forward? And not just yourself, but others. We got to realize that when we go forward, we need to take some people with us. Going forward isn't just not for ourselves and our benefit, but it's for others as well. And by you using your gift, when Shelly and Dana got up and used their gift to sing, even though I can't sing either, so I'm praying for a worship leader to come to the church, I'm like, woo! But when I see them use their gift, it encourages me. The Lord tells me to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So however I sound, my God will receive it. But when they're up there using their gift, who out here can sing? If you can sing, God says, get up. I want you to use. Get up, move forward, and use your gift. No matter what it is, you can do landscaping, you can do interior decorating. I need someone to do that because you know what? All I would do is supply the money. I'm the type of person that I don't like going out digging for bargains. Chrissy is the type of person that will go and will go in a store and go through every rack. I cannot do it. My sister can do that. I can't. I would just give you the money and say, go bring me some stuff. I'll try it on and you take it back. That's how I feel. That's why I'm dressed the way I am today. Good. I'm just a simple person, you know? It's hard for me to go and say, okay, I have to buy new clothes. I lost 35 pounds. I have to go buy new clothes. It is so hard for me to go into the store. I look at one thing, try it on, doesn't fit. Okay, I'm done. It's time to go. Candace is like, Mom, come on, we got to get you some clothes. So I'm going to get some clothes next week, guys. You won't see me in these big clothes anymore. But praise the Lord, because God is doing great things. So what is it that God is going to do in your life? What is it that you have? What is that gift and talent that you have, Teresa? What is that gift? God has something for you, and he wants you to be able to use it. You have something to give. Sally works with the youth, and I praise God because there's not a lot of people that want to work with the youth. What? Got to be with other kids? But God has put that spirit on the inside of her where she has that desire to go, and you know what? She is molding the mind. She's coming and reinforcing the things that you are saying to your children, what God's word says, and that's what we need to do. So we got to realize that when we use that gift and talent, just as Moses used that rod, he has given you things, and we have a ministry. Just like Pastor Ronnie said last night, you have a ministry. It may not be preaching, it may not be teaching, it may not be those things, but whatever it is, you have it. We need to go and redeem the time. We need to go out. So Moses is here. He uses his rod, and I'm here to ask you, what is it that you are using that's not only going to push you forward, but others too? Number 5, God is our protection. It says, in 19 and 20, it talks about the pillar of God. It says, the pillar of cloud moves between the Egyptians and the Israelites. At night, it becomes a pillar of fire once again, resulting into darkness for the Egyptians, but glorious light for the Israelites. God is awesome. He's amazing. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing impossible. You that have unsaved loved ones, keep praying. Keep praying. Alice is praying for her boys, and I love it because every time I see her, she's talking about her boys, and I'm praying for them, you know. And now her grandsons are praying for their fathers. Oh, what great things God can do if only we believe and have faith in God and know that he is with us wherever we go, no matter if we're in the desert, in the wilderness, if we're on a mountaintop or in a valley low, God is there for us, and we have to realize that. It says, behold, I send you an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into a place which I have prepared. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Those people who come against you, you don't take care of it. You let God handle it. Because when we go take care of it, we may want to beat somebody up physically. Please, Lord, just let me hit her, because why did she come and she does this to me all the time, you know? And we get those things and we're, oh, let me do that for you. But I've been looking in the Bible and there is nothing in the scriptures that says, go beat up people for me, because I would do that. I know plenty of you say, I'll do that too. But listen, God wants to do the work in your life. He wants to be there. He wants to defeat your enemy. You don't have to defeat him. I pray. I believe God. I stand on his word and I let God do it. God do it, not me. Because if I do it, it's wrong. Number 6, you will see the power of God. It says a strong east wind blows and parts the Red Sea, forming walls on each side. That's in Exodus 14, 21 and 22. God said, this is Zechariah. It is not by power or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord has given us power, by his Spirit to move forward and to conquer. God has given us power to be a witness, to be bold, and to serve. God said, are you doing those things? If you need boldness, pray and ask God. He'll give it to you. If you need to be a better witness, God says, get into my word. Have that devotion with me so you know these things. Here's a scripture, Numbers 23:19, and I love it. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a human that he should change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? God has. God is faithful. Even when I don't have enough faith, God is still faithful. And I thank God that he is here with me. God, you will see the power of God when you trust him. Number 7, God will defeat your enemies. Exodus 23:31. It says, attempting to pursue the Israelites across a dry path, the Egyptians drown when Moses lifts his hand, causing the waters to collapse. Psalm 78:53 says this, and he led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. God is there. Psalms 106, it begins to tell you about everything that's happening. Other psalms begin to tell you what happened during these times. But even in Exodus, the 15th chapter, it talks about how they begin to sing to the Lord, how they begin to pray unto the God because of what he had done. And number 8 is the most important. Give thanks for accomplishing the task that God has given you. Who do we give thanks to? To God. It says, a great victory celebration is held, praising God for how he delivered them from the enemy. Psalms 105:1-5 says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. We need to thank God for our salvation. We need to thank God every day that we give up and we have the activities of our limbs. We need to thank God, worship team, that we don't have a sore throat so we can give praise and we can lead the people to worship. I praise God and I thank God for what he has done for me. What has he done for you? In my life, I know I have to move forward. Just to give you a little bit of what God is, what's happening in my life, when I came back from the retreat, I've been sick. I had the flu for a week. After that, then I had this itching problem. I started itching all on my back. I was walking and doing everything with Dana and couldn't walk. I went one time around the track and my heart would beat really, really fast. I'm saying, what is going on? So I went to the doctor for the itching, you know, because that was more pertinent than my heart beating real fast. So anyway, I go for the itching and she says, well, you're nervous. I'm like, nervous? No, I'm not nervous. You're stressed. Is there anything happening in your life? Well, I'm moving to Texas, but I'm not stressed. Oh, your body gives you signals and you don't know it. Here, take these pills. Send me home. I take these two little pills, and they don't do anything for me. They relieve the itching for 1 hour. All I know is, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, because before the week before the retreat, I lift my hands to God, and I start to praise him. I said, because that's when it started happening then. I start feeling these heart palpitations. I said, Lord, take my life and use it. Well, when I said that, I didn't know that all these other things were going to start happening. So from there, they wanted me to come. I went back. I said, the itching is not doing anything. You know, you guys need to help me. Let's get a blood test. We need to see if you're premenopausal or if you have, you know, if it's your thyroid. Oh, we'll just check your liver, you know, just to check it. Well, they did all that, and then they called me back 2 days later. Excuse me, you have to come in. Why? My thyroid, they said, was too high. So they sent me to a hospital. Monday and Tuesday, I had to go take a thyroid test, be scanned, have everything done. They asked me these questions. It's about yes to everything. They said, you need to see the doctor right away. I can't go to the 13th of April. He said, what? He goes, no, you need to go to the doctor. I said, well, I keep calling, and they don't have any cancellations, you know. He goes, okay, well, just stay, you know, okay. That's all he can give to me. He can't say anything else to me. And then they tell me that my liver was too high. They said, a normal liver is 30, yours is 61. I said, oh, what is happening, Lord? Then they tell me my blood, that I'm anemic. I said, I've never been anemic in my life. When I was with my children, and they were carrying them in my stomach, I couldn't take the prenatal pills because they said I had too much iron. They said, oh, you have too much iron in your body. Well, I'm carrying me and my child, and I had too much iron. So I couldn't take my prenatal pills. Now they're telling me that I'm anemic. I'm like, what's going on? I lost all this weight. I come to the Saturday thing. I learned how to eat right, to live right, and to feel right. And I was feeling good for about 1 week, and then all of a sudden I started getting sick. All I know is that, Lord, I'm going to praise you in the storm. No matter what is going on in my life, we're still moving forward. We're still going to Texas. If I have to go there and I'm ailing as I'm going, that's all right, because I know that my God knows what's best for me. And if it's something that he's taking me through, I pray that, Lord, I go through it with flying colors, that I will stand upon your word, that I will not fear, that I will have my trust and my faith in you, because it is in you, God. And I know that you can deliver. You can do anything that you want to do. And however you do it, Lord, do it in my life. And if you choose not to heal me, I will stand. And the Hebrew boys stayed in my mind so much because they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what they said to him. My God is well able to deliver me, but if he does not, I still will not bow. I am not going to turn my face on God, no matter what I go through, because I know that God has the best for me. And if I go through this, what I'm going through now, that's okay. Monday, I go to the doctor for a biopsy. Okay, I had my first mammogram. And then they call me in right away. You need to come to the doctor. My husband said, what is going on here? We began to pray and rejoice. We were in the bedroom just laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. And we were praying. And he says, you know what, Deidre? We're going to move forward. I said, babe, we're moving forward. I'm following you wherever you lead. If God is leading us to go there, that's where I go. So if he's going to take me in a desert, let him take me in a desert. Because I know that my God will be there and he will be with me. I thank God because I serve a mighty God, a faithful God. If he said it, it will happen. And I thank God, Lord, whatever it is in my life, there's this one scripture I want to leave to you. A friend called me and gave me this scripture. And it was so funny because I was telling her on the phone, I'm moving forward. I don't care what's going on. My eyes are on you. She goes, you know what? I was reading this scripture, Second Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And she said, this reminds me of you when you were talking. And this talks about Jehoshaphat, when all these enemies were coming after him. And he got the men and the women and the children and all these people that were in that land. And they began to pray. And this is in the 12th verse, this is what it says. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. I don't care what is happening in your life. Our focus needs to be on God. There are many different attacks that come to us, and we don't even know why it's happening. I didn't know why my brother died at 33 and that he left three boys here that needed a father. I didn't know that. But God knew that that is my child, and I need to take him now. He needs to come home with me. And now I have three nephews that don't have a father. But oh my goodness, they love Fernando to death. And they'll call him, come to my basketball game, Uncle Fernando. Like, we have one in Texas. And I look at that and that I'm going to be near him. And he looks so much like my brother. But he goes, Auntie, I'm so glad that you guys are coming. I get to see us just 2 hours away, baby, just 2 hours away. I can come to a basketball game. I can do whatever. You can come and go to church out here. He was happy. I don't know. I don't understand why some things happen the way that I do. But I do know this, that if I put my faith and trust in God, he will be there for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that my God is here with me, just as he is here with all of us today. And I want you to know that during this time, when we go through all these things that we're going through, we must know these things, that when we move forward, the enemy will arise to discourage us. Know that. The Bible says, think it not strange when these trials and temptations come. Don't think it strange. Know that it's going to happen. But we're not to fear. We need to have faith in God. We must be obedient. God will be our protection. We will see the power of God. Your enemy will be defeated. And most of all, to give thanks to God because he is here with us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you for this time. Knowing that when we move forward, oh, wait a minute, ladies. I have one more thing to say to you. Because she was saying falling back. And we know in falling back, we just like she said, that Nestle, I remember that commercial too, so that may tell on me too. So falling back, it's so easy to fall back. But this is one thing that God wants us to do. We must learn to fall in love with Jesus. How do we do that? F, fellowship. A, we need to abide in him. L, we need to lean on him. And L, again, we need to live for him. That's how we fall in love with the Lord. So, Lord, help us. Let us pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that in our lives, Lord, let us supply the faith, Lord. Let us trust you no matter what. Let us lean on you, Lord. And Lord, may we seek your face. May we seek to do the will of you, Lord. And whatever it is that we have in our life, that gift, that talent that you have given us, Lord, may we use it for your glory, that you may get the glory, that all may see that you are the true and the living God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.